Good afternoon, everyone. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. Pastor Ron, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Dwight. Good Friday afternoon.
Yeah, you ready to go like I am?
Look forward to the weekends, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. And I look forward to this show that we do every week. It's a blessing to sit in the studio with you and unpack the Word of God.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're doing. We call this Unpacking Truth, where we take some of the Scripture, some of the Word of God, in this case, some of the teaching of Jesus Christ from what some call the most important sermon, the best sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're walking through the first part of that sermon and unpacking it bit by bit, line by line, verse by verse, and just exploring the depths of it. And you know what? I bet if we come back here a year from now and go through this again, there'd be new revelation, new insight, because there's in the Word of God, there's always more.
Yes, and that's what we're finding here in Unpacking Truth, and Dwight, that is the blessing of God's Word. And you know, I encourage every person to have a private devotional time. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be just whenever you can get the time. You know, some people it's early in the morning, some people it's late at night. But when you unpack the Word of God in your life, the blessings that we've seen here is just a practical application of it in our life, the everyday use of it, the everyday living, because that's what the Lord wants. That's what He desires for us in unpacking this truth.
Yeah, so things that we can go out and give us, to make us more than conquerors every day, have the abundant life, enjoy everyday life like we talked about last week, and not wait till all your problems are over to enjoy your life. Because it's never going to, I mean, you know, it's not, there's always going to be something out there that if you focus on it, think about it, and talk about it enough, can ruin your whole day. Mm-hmm. But it changes your thinking, it changes your mindset, it renews your mind, it transforms you more to the image of Jesus, it activates the mind of Christ that's in you as we unpack truth.
Hallelujah.
You got me to preach it.
Let's unpack some more here. Come on.
All righty. We are in the Sermon on the Mount. This is a sermon that Jesus preached at the beginning of His ministry. He preached this, He taught this, and then for 3 years He went out and lived it before the people. And we're walking through Matthew chapter 5, the first part of it, and we've arrived at verse 7 at the end of last week's show, where Jesus said to the people, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Wow. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, what in the world does that mean, Pastor?
You know what? I was just contemplating this verse, and you know, if you really think about it, in regard to the whole ministry of Jesus, God showing up on the planet, all the law, everything about the whole Word of God, really the whole intervention of God in mankind, His goal has been redemption. Yeah. His goal has been to bring mankind back to Himself in relationship, and from the Garden of Eden until the New Jerusalem that will come, you know, hopefully in our lifetime, but it's going to come. But from Eden to New Jerusalem, you know, His goal has been to love His people and to have a relationship with them. And when you think about mercy, Dwight, if you took away mercy, there wouldn't be anything left but religion, duty, obligation. I mean, if you took away, you know, you think about taking away mercy, and without mercy, if we're not merciful to people, merciful to people, then what do we have left? You know, Jesus taught out of the same 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, as the Pharisees did.
He
came up with a completely different concept of God than they. They had 613 rules that you had to keep every day.
Wow.
Keep or not do or do every day.
And if you missed one of them.
Man, that's ready to stone you.
You missed them all.
Yeah. And so here Jesus comes teaching the same out of the same Word of God, but His conception of that was, you know, God loves His enemies. God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. You know, His conception of that was completely different than theirs. But why? Because He was coming from the mercy and compassion of God. He was coming from the attitude that God's not mad at you, that God loves you. He's not trying to find fault with you, that He's not trying to condemn you. He's actually trying to make a way to help you if you just won't run from Him. So one of the reasons that people aren't merciful, Dwight, is they have not received or acknowledged or recognized the mercy of God toward them. And that's my heart cry. That's what I want people to realize, is God's love toward them, His compassionate desire for them, that He's not mad at them. He's not playing some sort of mysterious game. You know, I heard somebody say the other day, well, everything happens for a reason. And what they were saying was, there's some mysterious reason that God did this to bring this pain and this injustice to someone for some mysterious reason that he did that, that we're so ignorant we don't know about. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out pain inflicted on someone is not good. It's not a good thing. God put us in the Garden of Eden. He didn't start us off in hell. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and so people not recognizing the mercies of God, not recognizing the mercifulness of God, not to say that there's not going to be a day of wrath. There is a day coming when there will be a day of judgment and a day of wrath, but we're in the age of grace. We're in the age of His mercy and compassion. He said, come to the throne of grace that you may be able to receive mercy and grace to help in a time of need. And if we do that, then we will be merciful to others.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're exactly. I love what you said earlier, Pastor Ron, about, you know, you go through the two divisions of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, 66 books, 1,100 plus chapters, 1,500 years it took for all those books. Over a period of 1,500 years they were written. 40 men wrote them or so, three different languages. And the running theme from Genesis to Revelation is the redemption of mankind.
Yep.
Bringing mankind back into relationship with God through the completed work of Jesus Christ. That is the theme of the Bible.
And if you think about it, Dwight,
couldn't be done without mercy.
How many times men have rebelled against God in that, but He's merciful.
Yeah.
He is merciful to that, I tell you.
Hey, we're glad you're with us on a Friday afternoon. Your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. This is Local Matters. Let's deal with that matter of mercy for just a minute. And we know that grace, God's ability working through us to help us do things we can't do on our own, is something when we get that we don't deserve it. Mercy, on the other hand, is not getting something we deserve.
Praise,
talk about that a minute.
Praise God. I mean, you know, and Dwight, you know, where I want to go with this is I just plead with our listening audience to get to know the love of God, because you can't give what you don't have.
Wow.
If you don't experience that, and see, well, everybody says, well, God loves the world. God loves the world. But see, He does love the world, and if Him loving the world was sufficient, then everybody would be okay. But the problem with that is He loves the world, but we must receive that love and experience that love. If we don't receive it, it's not going to benefit us.
Wow.
And so if we'll receive the love of God and experience the love of God, then, you know, the goal here is that we would show the love of God, that we would demonstrate the love of God to the world around us. You know, Dwight, I get bothered as much as anybody by all that goes on in the world, all the crazy stuff. But, you know, I don't think there's a person on this planet that I couldn't sit down with and put my arm around them and tell them I love them. I disagree with a lot of political things that happen. I disagree with a lot of people, but I don't hate people, because the scripture says if you don't, in James 1, in James 4, it says if you don't show mercy, it says mercy rejoices against judgment. And that basically means that mercy will always win. Mercy, being merciful, blessed are they that are merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I want mercy. I need mercy. I mean, I need it in my life. But one of the things that will hinder us receiving mercy is not being willing to give it. And I think if you take that, the back truth of that is you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah.
If you don't have mercy, if you don't recognize the love of God, if you don't recognize His compassion, His mercy, you won't have it to give.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, Pastor Ron, about, you know, we maybe as we talk to this audience, and I've been there myself. You know, there's somebody did you wrong.
Yeah. Right?
Remember that somebody done
didn't
somebody
hurt,
wrong.
Yeah.
Song. Somebody, yeah, maybe they did, but you know, bitterness and anger is not really about what they did to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how you respond to it.
Yes.
It's about how you react to it. It's about how you it's about how much you relive it in your mind. It's about how much you talk about it and continue to give it life by talking about it, talking about it, and talking about it. And it's going to be a part of you. As long as you do that, it's going to be in you. And that person may have gone long gone and forgot about it, but it's still in you. You talk about it to everybody you meet a lot of times. And that's it's not about what they did, it's about how you respond to it. But the opposite of what I'm talking about now in terms of the bitterness and the anger and all of that, the opposite of that is the decision of I'm going to apply mercy to
this. And Dwight, that comes from an inward knowing that mercy has been applied to you.
Yeah.
You know, there was a situation in the scriptures in Luke where a prostitute came and washed Jesus' feet, you know, and the Pharisee got all mad, and Jesus asked him, he said, well, if it's 50, if someone owes you 50 or 500, but neither one of them can pay, what difference does it make? You know, one person may have a little white sins and white lies that they do, and another one may be a prostitute, you know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. neither one of them can pay for that. Nobody can pay for it. We can't pay for our own sin. That's why the blood of Jesus was shed. And he said, frankly, neither one of them could pay, but he that is forgiven much loves much. And that goes right along with the scripture. It's in James 2:13. It says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, but mercy rejoices against judgment. I mean, if we want mercy, we need to be merciful to people and realize that people have their problems, and don't take it so personal and think that when people are doing things, they're doing them against you personally. People have their own reason for doing things, but we just show mercy.
And I've been there myself, and there are folks that are listening that are right there right now, but you don't understand what they did. You don't understand how much it hurt. And I just don't feel like that. We go by how we feel. It starts with a decision.
Yep.
And that word decide means to cut from or to eliminate all other options. You start with a decision. The word says, this truth that we're unpacking says, extend mercy to them. And just begin to say, okay, God, that's what your word said. I'm going to be merciful. I decide to forgive. Mm-hmm. I decide to get this out of my mind. Now, those feelings might rise up again over and over, maybe for months, maybe for a few years. But you go back to this word. No. Mm-hmm. You're going to, like Barney Fife says, I'm going to nip it in the bud. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to keep talking about that. No, I'm not going to keep thinking about that. I'm going to apply mercy. Now, that doesn't mean you have to restore the relationship necessarily.
That's right.
That doesn't mean you have to have them over for dinner or sit and buy them something mm-hmm. for Christmas. And not necessarily. Some cases, it might, but it does mean that you may never see them again, and they might have never ask you forgiveness, anything like that, but to follow the scriptures for your own peace of mind, it's a decision, and I found in my life, you decide that, and if God tells you to take an action to tell somebody you've been bitter, I've had that happen in my life. I got bitter against a person, he didn't even know it, but God said, you go to him and ask him to forgive you.
Wow.
And he did that, and I said, I came in and asked you to forgive me, I've been bitter against you. He said, what did I do to make you bitter? I said, that don't matter. I shouldn't be bitter, and I said, I'm asking you to forgive me. And he looked at me and said, well, I forgive you. And you know what? I could call him this afternoon or tonight. If I broke down on the interstate at 2:00 in the morning, he'd come. And I'd do the same thing for him.
Yeah.
But we make that decision and we walk in that truth. And we may or may not ever see that person again. Or they may not acknowledge what we've done. But to follow the scriptures, that's what we do. Go take a break.
All right.
You stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We're back with more in a moment on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We're back on Local Matters for a Friday afternoon. This is Dwight Henry, your host, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church, unpacking truth, looking specifically at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the first part of that sermon, the Beatitudes, and walking through it line by line, verse by verse. And I don't know about the audience, but I'm sure you're getting blessed by it. Amen. I believe they are too.
I'll tell you, Dwight, I am enjoying this verse that we're talking about here about blessed are the merciful. And I just wanted to share this story. Of course, many people know our mayor here, Ricky Shelton, and I was a firefighter here in the city of Cookeville for about 12 years before I went into the ministry, and his dad was the fire chief. And
McCoy
Shelton, great man, great city father.
Yes.
Many people know him. Dwight, I witnessed this one time with him. I thought I learned so much from him. I mean, he was such a good, godly man, and I learned so much from him. But there was a man came into the fire hall one day. This man just came in, and it was a cold day, and he looked cold, and several of us were standing around, and he said, does anybody know of a place around town, like a Goodwill or someplace, that I can get a coat? I witnessed this with my own. I saw McCoy Shelton take his coat off his back and give it to that man.
Wow.
And I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Merciful. See, you know, and to me, Dwight, you know, I was a part of the city in that regard, an employee there. And not just bragging on Cookeville. I mean, I got to brag on Cookeville because I live here and I love it. But that's what makes a place great.
Yeah.
That's what makes, you know, we just participated this spring in the Feed America First campaign out at the fairgrounds. And I forget how many, it seemed like there's maybe 4,000 people that came through there to get fed. I can't remember exactly. But you know, those are the merciful things that we can do that we're just vessels of the Lord. We're taking our thoughts and opinions off of it, and we're just saying, Lord, you know, we're going to be merciful. We're not fools and we're not blinded, but we want to receive mercy. So we want to give that mercy out of what we've received in our lives.
Wow, that is so good.
And that testimony out there.
I'm glad you shared that story.
Yeah.
Back in those days, McCoy Shelton was fire chief. I was a very young, inexperienced mayor.
Uh-huh.
And McCoy Shelton and a couple other folks who'd been around a while, had a little bit of gray hair, kind of took me under their wing. And I learned pretty quickly, if I just listened to them, that'd make me look good. But what a story. What a great story it is.
Awesome story.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's move to verse 8.
All right.
In Matthew chapter 5, as we unpack the truth of the Sermon on the Mount, specifically the Beatitudes. In verse 8, it sounds Jesus taught this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Wow,
that sounds like a challenge. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But who can ever be pure in heart? Talk about that.
I think that purity, Dwight, it's not. Sometimes we read that and we think somebody that's never made a mistake or whatever, or never failed, and that when you look at the holiness of God, you have to realize, how do we measure up to that? And the only way we can measure up to that is by the recreated spirit that the Lord Jesus gives us when we receive Him. And you know, if you haven't received the Lord, it's real simple. You just believe. The Scripture says you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You believe that God raised Him from the dead, and you confess Jesus as your Lord in your heart, and then your spirit is recreated. But we realize, even though our spirit is recreated, Dwight, we still have a soul, we still have a will and emotions that get squirrely and flaky and all that. But the purity here that he's talking about is a sincerity.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Happy to have you with us on a Friday afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We got to park right there for just a bit. It may take us 6 more months to get through the Beatitudes here.
That's all right.
Blessed are the pure in heart.
Yes.
We've got to talk about heart, Ron. Mm. You know, we know that we're spirit beings. We live in a body. We have a mind, will, and emotions, which is our soulish realm, spirit, soul, and body. But also in the Bible, the word heart is used 900 times.
Mm-hmm.
The word heart. Where does heart figure into all that?
You know, Dwight, the heart... there's probably a lot of controversy about what the heart is, where the heart is located. And many of y'all listening may know Pastor Jim Short. He's doing a series now on Wednesday night at our church called he's talking about the heart. And he mentioned something the other night that just blessed me. And he's talking about the chamber of the heart. And the heart is the place where the spirit and the soul connect. It's kind of the core of our being, and in that heart, of course, our spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our spirit is pure before God, but you know, our soul is influenced by the world, and there's a lot of things that goes on in our soulish realm, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And where they meet is that chamber, Dwight, I like to talk about David. Because, you know, David was the Scripture says, a man after God's own heart. But here's a man that committed adultery, had Bathsheba's husband murdered. I mean, you think about all of he's a man of war, he's a man of blood. I mean, think about all the things that he went through. But here the Word of God says he was a man after God's own heart. He had a purity about him in regard to his connection with God in spite of the failures in his life, not to excuse the failures, not to justify the failures. Sin is sin, and sin will destroy. But there was a pureness of him seeking God and desiring God apart from anything that had happened in his life. And when we think about that, we think about this purity. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5, and he says, the end of the commandment is love and faith out of an unfeigned heart.
Wow.
And that word, now here's the thing, Dwight. If you can have an unfeigned heart, you can have a feigned heart.
What's feigned and unfeigned?
Feigned and unfeigned means a pure or impure.
There you go.
So there can be impure faith, and there can be pure faith. And see, impure faith really is... What it comes down to is a pride and an arrogancy to think and brag on our ability and our strength. See, my purity does not come from me. I can't make myself pure, and no one else can. But there are some people that think they can, and they lie about stuff in their life. Well, I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to get anywhere with God, I'm going to have to get real. I'm going to have to lay on my face and say, Lord, I like this sin. And I want to do it, and you're going to have to help me and get the want to out of me. You're going to, yeah. You know, this game of playing games and saying, well, I really don't want to do it. I just keep doing it. It's just an excuse to keep doing it,
really.
So, but when we get real and we get pure with God, God can handle anything in our lives. What he can't handle is a lie. He will not connect with a lie. He won't do it. He's a God of truth. He's pure and holy as he can be, and he will not and is not able to connect with a lie. So when we come to him for salvation, we're coming to him, if we're pure and sincere, we're coming to him saying, God, I'm a sinner. I need you. I need you now. After we get saved.
I'm poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit.
How all of these line up.
Yeah,
they all do. But the purity here is just if we could put it in one word, it would be a sincerity. It would be being sincere, and in that sincerity, being genuine in our lives.
Whew, that's good. I'll preach. I've been taking notes. I'm going to use that over here.
You got me to preach,
you know. I tell you what. You know, we just got about 2 minutes left, so I'm reluctant to even open up this can here, but I got to. Maybe we'll have to get it next time, too. You know, heart. You mentioned the unfeigned. The Bible says pure and impure. Mm-hmm. And the Bible talks about a pure heart. It also talks about a froward heart,
yes,
which is a crooked heart.
Yep.
And you use that word chamber that Pastor Jim has used, and I think that's an excellent word.
Isn't it?
And see what you think about this. Give me about a minute on it is that we've got this chamber, this heart, this core of our very being, which can be influenced by our renewed our spirit, which is born again. And we don't have any spiritual problems. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's
Christ in us is our hope of glory. We've got, you know, when Christ comes in, we make him our Lord of our lives. So our spirit's fine, and our spirit can influence our heart.
Yep.
But we also have this mind, will, and emotions,
yep,
which we have to renew by feeding it the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. When we get saved, we still want to think like we thought before. We want to do what we did before, because that mind has to be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
That will, those emotions have to be harnessed and trained and disciplined and all like that. So that's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Our spirits are saved instantly, mind, will, emotion over time, but our mind, will, and emotions can also influence our heart,
yep,
just like our spirit can. Talk about that for 45 seconds.
give you something for a lifetime, 45 seconds. James 1:21 says, I beseech you, he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He wrote that to people that were already Christians.
Yes, he did.
They were already born again. But he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Dwight, the only way to get a purity of heart is when our spirit, our soul, both are connected in a pureness through the Word of God, through the meekness of the Word of God, meaning that I can't take my own opinions. I might have an opinion that it's not right to spank a child, but the Word of God says to spank them. You know what I'm saying? So I have to take the Word of God. I might have an opinion that I do not want to forgive that person, but the Word of God says forgive. I might have an opinion in my soulish realm that I can't give that kind of money away, but the Word of God says give and it shall be given unto you. See, it's where we're receiving with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save or renew and cause our souls to be restored. And when our soul is restored, our spirit's renewed, We connect. We got a pure heart.
Man, you nailed it. And we still got about 30 seconds left, brother. You can preach another sermon that time.
Well, that's exactly right.
But I like what you said. Like that, does good. Jesus taught this. Here's what you do: the Beatitudes. Here's how you live life. Here's the best life you can have. He taught that. He walked it through line by line, precept by precept. And for 3 years, he went ahead and put that truth on display to show them how to do it. As a God-man, all man without ceasing to be God, he faced his temptations as a man, but he continued to live his life perfectly. Woo! Thank God happy. We'll have to pick it up next week.
All right, Dwight.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Be sure to be here next time, same time next week for Local Matters.